switching gears, because we wanted to talk to you about day trading. And that's what people are hearing your commercials and seeing you in the billboards and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about what's going on in that business right now. What is up with the stock market? Because it seems like, to me at least, that it's 1 minute it's way up here, the next minute it's way down there. It just seems to be up and down seemingly every day.
Yeah, but it's trending up, and that's what a lot of people are looking at. I mean, the Dow's going to soon be knocking the door 43,000, and the Buzz Lightyear crowd, I call them, to infinity and beyond, they're running into the market because a lot of them thought, you know, I should have put money in earlier. I've missed out, and emotionally they're charging in with some money on the sidelines, and I've been issuing a great deal of caution on that of late because you've got people like, you know, a Warren Buffett, a Terry Smith, David Tepper, these billionaires that have been for about the last 4 or 5 months, they've been taking billions of dollars out of the market. So as we've got investors running into the market, you see the billionaires that are running in the opposite direction. Now, obviously the question is, okay, why is this taking place? And right. You can speculate one way or another, but look at Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett likes to have his money on the sidelines so that when he feels as though stocks are going to go on sale, that there'll be an opportunity to, you know, make a great deal of money. That's how he became a billionaire. And right now we've got a lot of issues that are going on with the economy that's creating some problems. The banking crisis that everybody thinks is over, you know, we've averted it, but it's just been delayed, really. And we've still got this battle with inflation that's going on. The idea of what's going to happen with the Fed and additional rate cuts. There's a lot of uncertainty. And yes, the election and what takes place there as far as who wins and what our new economic policy direction becomes. And there's a lot of people that tend to think, hey, you know, the market could be in store for a pullback. And look, I've been trading stocks for 30 years, and I can tell you that going back 100 years, 9 of the worst 20 days of trading have happened in the month of October. So there's always this thing in the back of people's minds about, you know, is it time for these stocks to, you know, have a slight correction? And I tell people, look, if you're talking about putting money in the market, do what you want. But, you know, for me, it would be a situation of I'd have that money on the sidelines, have stocks that I know I like, and have a predetermined entry point. If they drop that to that point, you automatically pull the trigger and you grab the shares when you do. The problem is, it's a lot like three kids playing jump rope. Two are swinging, and one's getting ready to jump in. A lot of times people will kind of rock back and forth because they don't know when they're going to buy or when they're going to sell, and they really don't have a clearly defined plan. And when I teach my students how to day trade, that's exactly it. We know where we're going to get in. We know when we're going to get out. And there's no guesswork to it because there's an easy checklist to follow. And for me, personally, I'm of the individual mindset that, look, there's a lot of risk that's associated with Wall Street. And if I can jump in and out of a stock, I grabbed one today, held it for, I think, 6 minutes and made 7 or 8% on it. That's what I prefer to do. That way my money's not at risk. I can get in and get out of the market quickly and wait for these stocks to go on sale and take advantage of them in a daily aspect as opposed to the long-term kind of buy, hold, and pray approach.
Jay, for clarity, like you said, 9 of the worst trading days in the 20 years you've been doing this were in October.
No, going back for 100 years.
Oh, for 100. What's wrong? Why October?
Hey, Jason, I don't know, but yeah. you look at the crashes that took place in 29 October. You're talking about a lot of the things that happened around the banking crisis and different things, October. Hmm. Of course, we've got the pandemic and other things, but that happened in months other than October. But that history is never lost on investors. It's always kind of in the back of their mind. And the worst thing that can happen is a day where we just have kind of a brief sell-off, and then people panic, and then there's another brief sell-off, and it just kind of continues from there. But, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world say, look, the best way to become wealthy is to put your money in the stock market and allow it over an extended period of time to work for you. And that worked for him, and it worked very well. I'm of the mindset that says the next 40 years are not going to be like the last 40 years. We've got this exploding national debt that nobody seems to care about. You've got the Social Security time bomb that's coming our way, where we're going to have more people pulling from it than contributing to it. You've got people in Washington, D.C. that really don't want to tackle any meaningful fiscal policy because they're cowards on both sides, and they don't want to do it because it could possibly jeopardize their election. But look, what's best for the country? We've got to have some fiscal sanity. And right now we just don't have it. And
Reach, man.
It's really
man.
Something that concerns me, because when some of these issues really start to ferment and kind of percolate over, it's going to be the market that's going to suffer. And again, I'm not predicting a market crash or anything. I'm simply saying from a country's economic policy, I'm very concerned. Look, when the debt, the national debt goes up $1 trillion every 100 days, and we're spending more on interest than we are on national defense.
Yeah.
You look at these things and it's just insane, but they continue. And, you know, look, I voted for Donald Trump twice. I'll do it again. But the one thing that disappointed me with him, the debt continued to go up under his administration. One of the few things that he didn't do that he said he was going to do as far as reducing it. But, you know, there's just a lot of issues. And that's why the market moving forward, I have some concerns over. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, I like to get in and out of the market and be done with it and go about my day.
As a day trader, Jay, in a situation like this, do you kind of stand back? Do you leave your money on the side? If you've got, you know, instead of kind of betting the field, you're betting your particular horse? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Teddy, what I'll have is a portfolio of X amount of dollars, and I'll use a small percentage on this stock, a very small percentage on this one, and go after four or five of them. If I get 5 or 10% in the course of a day on those smaller allotments of my overall portfolio, because you never put a big amount of your percentage-wise into any given stock, that's stupid. But if I can make my 5 or 10%, walk away with $1,000 or $2,000 in a day, I'm pleased. I had a guy get a hold of me the other day and said, "Jay, you were talking about one of your students is making like $642 in 8 minutes. What's the big deal over that?" And I'm thinking, that's $160,000 a year. I think that's a pretty big deal when you're talking about only spending 8 minutes on it. But that's the mindset. And it's not a matter of trying to time the market, because that's stupid on top of stupid.
Right.
And I trade stocks not from a market-specific standpoint, but from a stock-specific. I just start the day and I start watching, and we are looking at various stocks that are moving. Certain stocks look to be of interest, and then if they hit a certain point, I'm going to buy them, and I know exactly where I'm going to sell them. And if it happens to be a stock that I grab and it goes a little bit farther south than I thought, well, then as it returns, instead of a 10% profit, I'll trim it back to a 2 or 3% profit. You just take what the market gives you, and you don't try to hit the grand slams like so many people try to do. And that just amazed me when I first started studying the market in the early 90s, was how many people, it was either I'm going to make a ton of money or nothing. And I'm thinking, what about the singles and doubles? When you can make 5, 6, 7% here, 10% there, why not be excited about those? But it just shocked me, and it still does to this day, that so many people with so many stocks being traded don't recognize those daily opportunities for what they are. And, you know, I've got a real close connection with my students. I've got one that shared just such the kindest email last week. He's waiting on a kidney transplant. He said, "Jay, I can't physically do things I would like to be doing," but he's trading stocks. He's using the system that he's paid me to show him, and he's made $12,000 last month. Now, when you can impact somebody's life that's going through that, who cares about a paycheck? I mean, right. Making that kind of an impact in people's lives is something that has motivated me, and one of the reasons it remains one of my, you know, two passions in life professionally, aviation and teaching people how to trade stocks.
All right. With that, Jay, it's always great to talk to you, my friend. People want to find out more. Where can they go?
They go to jratliff.com. That's the website that has got a lot of free stuff on there. People want to learn on their own, and believe me, they can do it. If I can learn how to trade stocks, anybody can. And it's also got notes on there about the upcoming class starts in November and December. And it's also a place people go to if they've got any aviation issues. They use that website and contact me, because I probably reach over 1 million people a week in all my radio interviews across the country, and I send them to that site to send me emails on, you know, airlines that are giving them problems. Because, look, we'll go after the airlines. You know I love doing that, but yeah, that's the best way to get a hold of me, and as quickly as my schedule allows, I'll get right back to them.
All right, buddy. Thanks so much.
Good talking to you guys.
Thanks, Jay. See you.